responsible for the CIMMYT lowland tropic maize breeding program, which is based in Mexico and does its preliminary testing in on the Gulf Coast of Mexico, targeting environments all over the world at elevations below about 1,500 meters. Primarily, the program is mostly white maize, but there's a substantial yellow component too. And there's increasing interest and activity in yellow maize in Asia, feed demand for yellow maize increases. And so CIMMYT's level of investment in Asian maize breeding has sort of fades in and out with donor interest. At the moment, we're on a bit of an upswing. So we're looking at historical data to think about how to organize our evaluation program. The major mega environments that this program serves are rather different and spread throughout the region. There's a wet season subsistence-oriented production system with big areas in Nepal, parts of India, southern Philippines, where very often white varieties are of interest. Stress tolerance, nutritional quality are the principal concerns. Yields are very low. But there's a rapidly growing irrigated high potential area throughout the region, usually in the dry season when disease pressure is low, very often on lands that are in rice, irrigated rice in the wet season. And CIMMYT's germplasm, like everybody else's germplasm, tends to do better in these environments, and these environments tend to be where the breeders and agronomists like to test, where we have the most data. Just to give you an idea on maize production in Asia, this is reasonably recent data. Between India and Indonesia, there's about 11 million hectares, probably a total of 16 or 17 million hectares in the region. So that's about half of the U.S. corn area, if you think about it, in South and Southeast Asia. And in sort of looking at our testing program, CIMMYT sends out many variety trials to people who request them or people we ask to carry them, and is faced with, like everybody else running a large international testing program, with the problem of making sense out of what data is returned. There's a vast literature that helps people try to do this, and I don't find a lot of it very helpful. A lot of GBIE models ignore issues of selection and precision. They're mostly concerned with, figuring out what's similar to what's different than what, and they don't give you a lot of help on making quantitative judgments about how different sets of environments are, and if you change your selection program in such a way that the balance of testing environments has changed, how is that going to affect your gains? Another big problem with most models is that they oversimplify reality by confounding year and location effects, and they often treat the individual trials as fixed environments rather than a random sampling strata within some type of environmental substratum. And I think that thinking about GBIE is best done in a selection theory framework. It helps you plan a breeding program in a better way. Sort of the key organizing idea for this would be a term popularized by Mark Cooper and Australian colleagues, the target population of environments, which is the set of fields and future seasons in which your varieties under evaluation may be used. And the target population of environments is sort of bounded by some type of spectrum of fixed environmental factors. These could be a geographical border, a soil type, a maturity zone, and to think sensibly about whether you need a fixed division of your target population of environments, you have to recognize that within any split you make, there's still going to be random environmental noise. There's still going to be a sampling stratum from site to site and from year to year. And it's that random trial-to-trial variation within whatever set of boundaries you set out for yourself that you have to use that noise to test whether your target population requirements is reasonable. Yeah, we talked about that. And, you know, the relationship between the selection environments you use in your breeding program and your target population of environments can be modeled, basically using the old Falconer model for correlated response to selection. You do selection at a few locations in order to predict performance in some you know, future set of fields within the target population of environments. And basically, what you're trying to do is you predict performance somewhere else next year. Almost the last places you're interested in are the fields you actually do the testing. So this correlated response framework, I find, is very useful for thinking about organizing your selection program. And it expresses the correlated response in the target population environments to selection in your selection environment as a function of selection intensity, the correlation of genetic effects in the screening trials versus in the TPE, if you can estimate that, the broad sense heritability in the TPE, and the genetic variation in the TPE. And we sort of, many years ago, Ken Fry and I put this into a context for selection in a breeding program. And you can use this type of model to ask a number of different kinds of questions. For instance, if you have two different locations that you're concerned with comparing, and you have some information about their correlation, their genetic correlation, with the target performance in the target population of environment, say from a larger data set, then you can compare them in terms of their effectiveness in generating gains in the TPE. And that will just be the ratio of the genetic correlations multiplied by the ratio of the broad sense heritabilities. Well, this is a statistic and it should have a distribution, but for this ratio, or at least for the genetic correlations, Jim Holland has recently published good algorithms for estimating those standard errors. So you can also use this type of thinking to decide whether or not to divide up a target population of environment. Just because there's some, you know, you can imagine a split within your TPE, and just because there's some, you know, G by E or fixed G by E between different parts of your TPE doesn't mean you should necessarily divide it. It may be worthwhile to divide it into sets of more homogeneous sites. Hopefully you've got a hypothesis about how to do that. If there's really no pre-existing hypothesis about how to group genotypes, you can use an AMI or a GGE biplot type of approach. But normally an agronomist should have a hypothesis if you're a scientist and you're talking to people about how the production system works. And basically the way you do this, if you can form a hypothesis that there's a fixed split in your target environments, is you estimate a genotype by fixed environmental factor term, and you test it against a genotype by trial term within the fixed split. If the interaction is real, you can estimate the gains from selection that result from splitting the target population of environments. Even if the interaction is real, you shouldn't necessarily split, because when you split your TPE, you're also going to split your testing resources. Nobody, your manager or your dean is not going to come and give you another three testing sites for each location, with each subregion within the split. So you have to, this is just the model here, where you take location effects and you split them into, say, a subregion and location within subregion, and you can do that with the genotype by location as well. Subregions are fixed, and trials within subregions are random. You can decide whether or not to divide a target population of environments using this type of model, where correlated response in the subregion relative after the split relative to response from selection in the region as a whole can be expressed as a function of the genetic correlation between the region and the subregion and the two heritabilities. And we laid out how to do that a number of years ago. And just to reiterate that this is not obvious, even if there's genotype by subregion interaction, that this is going to work for you, you have to realize that you may, by splitting, increase the genetic variance. You sort of bundle the genotype by subregion variance into the genetic variance, but you're also going to reduce in the replication, number of locations, number of replications within locations that minimize that phenotypic variance. So you have to model it and evaluate it. We're looking at this question for CIMMYT, evaluating CIMMYT test crosses at Asian sites. We have two big areas that people are interested in looking at material for: Southeast Asia and India. All the Southeast Asian and most of the Indian trials tend to be irrigated with the people that we're working with. They're mainly not in the peak rainy season, so disease pressure is low, and they tend to be high yield environments. So, we're concerned about whether we need to treat those as separate breeding targets, and where we should be doing the testing. If you look over, we send out separate sets of genotypes every year, so I've got a little bit of information for 2001 through 2003. If you look at the entry versus entry by region variance components in a model that takes entries as random and regions as fixed, you see that in most years, the entry by region, in 2 of the 3 years, entry by region variance was zero. 1 year it was estimable, but not bigger than its standard error. Sometimes the genetic variance isn't either. There's a very large variation within each of those regions, much bigger than the differences across the regions. So I would judge that there's no reason to split those as breeding targets. If you do, these heritabilities, these are on a line mean basis for the whole, or test cross mean basis for the whole region, they're pretty low as they are, even with this number of sites. So, I'd be worried about dropping it down. The genetic correlations between regions, I mentioned we do our preliminary testing at a couple of sites in the Gulf Coast of Mexico. And so it's interesting to look at the genetic correlations of genotypic effects across these regions. And they, obviously, between India and Vietnam, they tend to be, our Southeast Asian sites in these years are in Vietnam. They tend to be quite high. Reasonably, at least positive, and usually of a reasonable magnitude in with respect to comparisons between performance in Mexico and the two Southeast Asian sites. So how well do our individual main Latin American test sites predict performance in Asian trials? Our options are to do more of our testing in Thailand. We have good collaborators there. We've also got one site, management of one site in India. How does the Southeast Asian site in particular do relative to selection in Mexico was a concern to us. A lot of the breeding in the region for many countries is done in Thailand. So if you look at our main, the phenotypic correlations between performance at our main Mexican site and performance in the Indian target population of environments, they tend to be positive but relatively low. A little bit higher on average for Southeast Asia. Genetic correlations, part of the reason for these lower phenotypic correlations is the relatively low heritability of single site trials. If you look at the genetic correlations, relatively high for Mexico with India and also for Southeast Asia and India. So we're doing reasonably good selection in Mexico for these environments. But overall, if you average the gains, the predicted gains across these years, we would do about between 30% and 40% better with testing in Thailand in terms of gains from selection than testing at Bataan. So we're moving resources into Asia. That's not very earth-shaking idea if you can do it. But I was actually quite pleased that we do so well from selection in Mexico. And that's borne out by the way material from the program is being used in these areas. Overall, there's no consistent genotype by region interaction between the Indian and Southeast Asian sites. We're going to have to parse environmental and management factors more finely than that to find reasonable sub-environments. There's a lot of bouncing around of genotypic ranks within those big regions. Stage one evaluation in Mexico results in about 70% of the gains resulted from expected from testing in the region. And this correlated response approach gives you a rough idea of relative efficiency of different selection schemes. And you know, I've been finding that to really get something out of these large data sets and parse the trial sites into sensible target environments, you really need better descriptors for the agronomic and environmental conditions under which the trial was conducted than we have. We've got reams of data. Getting that into a database that's queryable in a sensible way is turning out to be, not surprisingly, a very big job. I guess I was surprised that there wasn't more information than there is. That's it. Thanks.